Hey, there is a deadline tomorrow regarding the government stimulus checks. I'm David Brancaccio. The deadline for people to get their bank information to the IRS so they can get their economic stimulus money is noon tomorrow Eastern, 11 Central, 10 Mountain, 9 Pacific, tomorrow. If the IRS doesn't have that info from tax returns and you don't want to wait for the paper checks to come, those eligible should deal with this by tomorrow morning. As of last week, the government had disbursed 130 million payments, totaling about $200 billion, which leaves about 20 million Americans still without their $1,200 checks. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
Beverly Stewart says it seems like everyone she knows has already seen that stimulus money hit their bank accounts. But when she logs on to the IRS portal to check on hers,
it says we have no information at this time.
The therapy coordinator in Germantown, Maryland, has lost income due to the pandemic. She had enough savings to pay her bills this month.
But when June comes, if that stimulus does not come, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Stewart just recently filed her taxes for the last couple years, so to be sure the IRS knows where to find her, she submitted her direct deposit information a couple different ways. There are lots of reasons the IRS might not have a taxpayer's bank data, says Greg Geisler, a clinical professor of accounting at Indiana University. The biggest reason?
If they owed instead of getting a refund. The IRS does not have their bank account information.
That's the case for about 40 million Americans. Others might not have filed taxes at all, while some opt to get their tax refunds by mail. The IRS says some stimulus checks have already gone out by snail mail, but others could take until June or July to arrive. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
There's data just out showing that small businesses, which employ so many in the U.S., are not expecting a quick turnaround in this COVID economy. Marketplace's Scott Tong has just looked at the survey. Scott, how dark is the mood?
Well, the index of optimism for small business fell to its lowest level since 2008. This is according to the April survey from the National Federation of Independent Business. When you look closer, small business owners' expectations for sales cratered to its lowest level ever in the survey, and it goes back to the 1970s. Of the 10 pieces of this index, 9 of them are down. That includes hiring and capital investments and compensation. And just for some context, David, small business optimism was near a record high just 2 years ago.
Any hints of any optimism in this survey?
Yeah. Even though this small business group says things will get worse before they get better, many owners think the economy will improve 6 months from now. It's more than before. We're talking 29% of owners compared to just 5 the previous month. The key to that happening, according to the Federation, is whether consumers feel safe before venturing out and going to the store.
All right. But what do we know about small businesses that are actually going under?
Well, two separate surveys found that more than 40% of small businesses expect to shut down permanently after 6 months. So if that's true, we're going to see a mix of failures and optimism at the same time. And in the words of today's report, the economic reopening will likely be slow and uneven.
Yeah. Scott, thank you. The stock market has its own logic, perhaps fueled by low interest rates and that are set to stay low. This morning, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up about 0.2%. Twenty 2020 is the year many people have been reminded that life can turn on a dime, a storm can blow in quickly, and a natural human response is to safeguard what you might already have in case you need it later. What we don't know is if the forced frugality sticks, becomes ingrained into the culture. That would be something with many positive and negative economic effects. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell has been digging into this. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
What do you think? Was this trend expected of forced frugality?
No, I don't think it was. Think back a couple of weeks ago. The consensus expectation on Wall Street was we were going to have a V-shaped recovery. We go down, and then when the economic lockdown is lifted up, you're going to have all this pent-up consumer demand, and people are just going to go out and start splurging. Now we realize, look, too many households, their finances have been badly strained. April's unemployment number was stunning, of course, but it only captures a part of the damage. I mean, think about all the other workers that have had their hours reduced or pay cut, or maybe they go on temporary unpaid leave. People are not going to go out and spend money the way they typically do after a recession.
But Chris, what was the status of our savings prior to the lockdown mess?
So incomes have been stagnant. They've fallen for a majority of people for several decades. I mean, the only exception are these highest earners. And probably even more disturbing, a lot of middle, lower income households, they never recovered financially from the Great Recession, which was a dozen years ago. So to get by during this pandemic depression, if you don't have much in savings, you're borrowing more. And there was this recent survey by creditcard.com. It shows that nearly half of U.S. adults currently have credit card debt. And that's up from 43% from a similar survey in early March. And hardest hit, millennial credit card holders.
Now, speaking of millennials, I mean, here we are. They're being given a taste of what their grandparents, even great-grandparents, experienced during the Great Depression.
That's right. And like their grandparents or great-grandparents, more people are embracing frugality or thrift. I mean, look, here's the bottom line. Without, you know, really strong, healthy income growth, Americans will need to save more and spend less. The personal savings rate, it has already jumped, David, from 8% in February to more than 13% in March. And I don't think that's an aberration.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
Our producers are Rose Conlon, Victoria Craig, Meredith Gerritsen, Candice Manriquez-Wren, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.